Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support or make someone's Christmas. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Temple Stadium, where every name matters.
Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. An action-packed show in store as Gerry O'Neill and Enda Tracy review last weekend's round one of the Miller Shield. Anthony Shelley joins us to discuss last weekend's drama in the county football finals, while Sean Smith and Enda look ahead to the next weekend's county senior hurling final replay. But first, David Morgan tells us about Simple Stadium's new fundraising initiative, My Stadium Seat. Okay, folks, anyone that was at the recent county final would have seen the launch of My Stadium Seat, which took place at halftime in the county final with Owen Kelly, Liam Sheedy and Brendan Cummins in situ. It is the brainchild of David and Toby Morgan, who are involved in the Semple Stadium Committee, and we're delighted to have David joining us on the Premier View today. How are you getting on, David?
That's about it all, Michael, and thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
No bother at all. So, David, just give us a bit of background on Semple Stadium and what My Stadium Seat is all about, please, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, I suppose Semple Stadium is an iconic stadium. It's the number two venue GAA stadium in Ireland. And as such, has a huge history. And I suppose really the whole idea of the mystadiumseat.com is a simple idea that Toby came up with. And it's about protecting the future of the stadium and protecting the chance of making more history and more memories for people. Semple Stadium is an expensive piece of real estate to keep maintained. And look, we've big plans for the Canaan Stand, affectionately known as the Old Stand. And it's about, you know, if I'm to quote Owen Kelly, it's about not about having great facilities or good facilities, it's about having world-class facilities. And that's what we're trying to do. Look, at the Old Stand will be, we're going to build a players' gym there. We're going to have physio rooms. We're going to have stats rooms, dressing rooms. It's adjacent to Dr. Morris Park. It's right on footprint of Semple Stadium. It's also about protecting the infrastructure that's already in existence. And as you can see, down through different years, we would have had to invest into that stand. And it's an exciting venture. It's something that we've got planning permission for. It'll really enhance all the old stand. Also, there'll be some corporate rooms there. There'll be a function room, corporate room. There'll be some meeting rooms there. And I suppose we like to think that Simple Stadium is a stadium for everyone, you know, so that's what we're trying to protect.
Yeah, you made a very interesting point there about the running and the running costs of the stadium. And I suppose any of us that are involved in GA clubs will know how much work it goes into the upkeep of a club field. But maybe the uninitiated amongst us wouldn't have a clue, I suppose, about the running costs or what it takes to run a stadium like Simple Stadium and what goes into, I suppose, the upkeep of what is the number two stadium in the country.
Okay, well, sure. I suppose that's an interesting question, and it's got a lot of answers to it, just because there's a lot of areas. I mean, you have your normal fixed costs like insurance, rates, all of that. They're a given. You can talk about 100,000 to 120,000 a year for those. But more importantly, silly things that people wouldn't think about. Me, on a big match day, Munster final, my big worry on Munster final day is water. And how many gallons of water am I going to use to flush toilets? And it's an astronomical amount. I often ask people to guess and look at their calculating it off their homes and stuff. But just as a quick one, we will do anywhere between 150 and 220,000 gallons of water flushed into toilets. And there's a whole background to that. You know, there's the storage tanks, there's the well, there's the pumps, there's the chlorination units, the softening units. There's a whole management system of that. That costs money. And that's just a simple thing. Big match days, 72 turnstiles open, a lot of people. A lot of stewards, you know. We have 120 FITAC trained stewards, plus all of Robert's, our chief steward, Robert Ryan's chief steward, our chief steward. He has a big team in there as well. A lot of costs, a lot of stats. The pitch itself is ongoing. If you consider the pitch this year, it's been strange, you know. We've gone from being in COVID, complete lockdown, matches behind closed doors, to people coming in and people coming in and people arriving last Sunday week to see Lockmore and Thurles Sarsfields having a great draw. And then you've got the football last Sunday. But since the beginning of the year, we've had 52 games in Simple Stadium without any of the tip senior teams training sessions or challenge matches. So it's a busy, busy pitch. It's a wonderful sod. It costs money to keep it that way. We've got a wonderful ground staff in Parik Green, Pat Callanan, Andy. We've got Con in there. So we've got, you know, guys that are working on those pitches above in Dr. Morris Park as well, you know. So it's full on.
Yeah, it's not just a case of turning on the lights and in the dressing rooms and going out onto the field. There's a lot more work that goes into a match day than just an hour before ending the game, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, Anna Kennedy and Ashling Maher, they're making sure that the facility is clean and tidy. We've got Ryan's cleaning coming in as well, outside contractors. Jerry O'Sullivan done mountains, Trojans of work this year. We've just upgraded the seats in the new stand there. If you look at them now, they're all nice and new looking. Jerry came up with a scheme there for that, and we've done it, and it looks really great. And I suppose we're very cognizant as well within the stadium of supporting local businesses and industries and stuff. And look at Simple Stadium's like an industry. You know, it provides a lot of employment, and it provides a lot of funds and money into the town of Thurles as well.
Yeah. So just moving on to the initiative. So I was at a county board meeting recently, and I heard a figure of 10 million being put out as what might be needed to refurbish what is, as you said, affectionately known as the old stand. But my stadium seat, what exactly is this initiative?
Okay, I suppose the initiative is my stadium seat. It's an e-commerce website. So you log on to my stadium seat, you're taken through a menu, and you get the opportunity to put your name on a seat. And there's different packages there. We have the hero, the excuse me.
All right.
We've got the hero, the double, and the all-star packages. And there's €100, €200, and €500. So I'll give you the the hero is 3 years. Your name's on a seat for 3 years. Now, I suppose you're saying, well, so what? And a name, a seat is a seat until you put a name in it. When you put the name in it, you put the emotion into it because someone has put their name to it. And behind that, there's a story. And with that, on the website, you're allowed to put on the fan story wall, a little story or a bio about the person you're buying it for. It might be yourself. It might be a new arrival into your family and you've got great hopes for this person that they're going to come and play either camogie or ladies football or hurling or football on the famous sod. And it's a way of protecting that. But you can talk a little bit about that. Or it might be, for me, in my case, I'm one of 11. My dad, obviously a very busy man. And for me, my earliest memory as a child, a little boy, was coming to Turles, my first big game, coming down over the bridge, all the colour, all the excitement, my dad holding my hand. I was the only one of the 11 taken that day. So it was special to me. I had one-on-one time with my dad. My biggest worry was, hey, would he buy me a cap? One of those famous paper caps, the rain, the dye ran down your head, and a flag. But for me, special time. So my dad has deceased now, God rest him. And for me, I think of my dad, I think of that day, and I think of what it was like to be with him just that one-on-one time. I listened to Owen Kelly talking about his times in Simple Stadium, coming there with his dad and rolling on to his hurling career, which is still in full flow. He's still out in the stadium. Absolutely. And then talking about his wish for his children and what it means to him to bring in his kids. So there's that whole story that can be captured. So you can see how the emotion is put into that seat. And so that's the fan's story wall. Then you get your 4 tickets to the Ultimate Fans Day, where you can come to Simple Stadium on a given day, which we'll be letting people know through our social media and through the website when that's going to be available. They'll get 4 tickets. And on a day like that, if it was, you know, think someone coming from, it's a day out. So you're bringing the family out. You might make a day out of it. You might come across, have a bit of a meal somewhere, full day with the person that you bought the seat name for, or just in the memory of someone. So it's a family day again. And Simple Stadium is a family venue. You look here, any match day, there's loads of kids. There's the generational there. You got the granddad, the grandmam, the dads, the mams, the kids. And it's a lovely sight. And we love to see that here in Simple Stadium. It's very important because, and again, within all of that, there's all those stories. And then you're up there, you know, you have your name in that seat for 3 years. And it's an exciting venture, we feel. The double then, you're up there with all of the same again for 8 years. I suppose I left out the certificate. You also get an official certificate of authenticity, which is personalized to you. So the person buying that is able to personalize it and maybe send a message like for Christmas, hi dad or hi mom, thanks for the wonderful memories in Simple Stadium. Happy Christmas, love, David, Michael, whoever, you know. So it's just a nice way to personalize it. And I suppose the big one is the All-Star. And that one gets you everything that I've just spoken about, but also your name goes on the wall of legends and you're there forever. And people can come in years to come and just look at that name, scan in the QR code, which I will explain a little bit in a second, and read about that person. So if you think about it, you know, you go into different stadiums like Celtic. I know Celtic, the soccer stadium in Scotland, you know, you have your name on a wall or brick on a wall, but it's just a name. It doesn't tell you the story. What's new about this and what's new about this initiative is the QR code taking you to the fan story wall and be able to read about that person and get a feel for them and to understand what it meant to them and what the stadium means to them. So coming in on a match day here, you sit on your seat, you'll see the person's name, you'll be able to scan the QR code through your phone, takes you to the website, and you can read all about that person.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that sounds very good. And I think as all of us, as either supporters or players, would have dreamed of being in Simple Stadium to see the big games as we were growing up. The proceeds then of this initiative, you mentioned some of the things earlier on in your introduction, but what is the refurbishment of the old stand? What will it entail? I saw somewhere that maybe we were going to maybe two tiers in the old stand, which would be huge if it was to come about.
I suppose where the idea came and how we came to it, there's a whole mezzanine level in the old stand that's just open. So when you're walking out from Dr. Morris Park, you look in there, you see a big open piece, mezzanine level, which is open. And we have all that footprint. So it was about sweating what they call, on my old business term, about sweating the assets, sweating the building. It's getting the most out of the stand. So we thought about it and we said, well, you know, it's adjacent to Dr. Morris Park. It'll provide us with a whole new aesthetic out the visual out the back there as well. For even our neighbors, it'll be a much more attractive building. We will bring it, and it's really player focused as well. And I mean, Dr. Morris, there's plans to upgrade the dressing rooms and stuff, but you know, there's a lot more female activity and there's a lot more male activity. And for that, standards have moved forward. You know, I mean, to be at the top within our game and our association, we like to drive the standards. And in Tipperary, there's a wonderful team ethos. You know, everyone, all of us are together. The guys working in the stadium, the chefs, the cooks, delivering the food to the players, the girls making sure the dressing rooms are right, the guys doing the pitch. And we call it Team Tipperary. Everyone is driving and striving towards the girls winning a Camogie All-Ireland or the ladies football or our own guys winning the All-Ireland hurling or down the grades. So it's that investment and what's that required. So if you're putting, you know, we've great management around these people, we've got to put the facilities and the backup stuff to them in there as well. And that's what we're doing in the old stand will do. It's like a center of excellence. But also, I have to stress, it's also protecting the fabric of the building. There's, you know, concrete spoils, you get leaks, you get everything else. All that needs upgrading now.
Yeah. The benefit of this then is, well, all that stuff that you mentioned is of benefit to the player, but there, I presume the fan experience or the supporter experience will be enhanced as well on a visit to the stadium.
It will, yeah, because coming in there then automatically, the old stand can be a little bit cold on match day and stuff. And if you've sealed up the building, it becomes a lot warmer and nicer. You're coming into a nice, more modern facility. We won't be taking away any of the capacity within the stadium. There will be probably a more of a facility to deal with corporate and how we might deal with that and give a better experience for those. The ordinary fan then, the concessions and all that streetscape that's underneath the old stand, that'll all just sit nicely within what's there, within the facility. And then it's about out front of the old stand, having that right and getting that more modern and cleaner and nicer, you know. And it's about comfort, and like I said, it's the family, it's the mum getting us up, getting, have your breakfast as we're going to Simple Stadium. And what we need to ensure is in the household at home, when dad's coming home and he's saying, ma'am, I'd love to be going to the Munster senior final, hurling final or semi-final, that it's a good experience for the whole family and she's fully bought into it and that they know they can go and have a real nice day.
Yeah, I know it sounds terrific, and it's a great initiative, and I really look forward to seeing those fan stories in the future as this whole thing plays out. So just before we finish up, you might run through the packages again there so people are aware of them.
Okay, I suppose I'm going to top it and tail it by saying, look, in Simple Stadium, we firmly believe that every name matters. And for that, the price points reflect that, with the 100 euros, the 200 euros, and the 500 euros. And we fully believe that every name matters. So you've got the hero for 100 euros that puts your name on a seat with that lovely QR code, and it gives you that personalized certificate. It gives you the fan story wall and the opportunity to write the story behind the person. And it gives you the 4 tickets to the ultimate fan day, and you're on there for 3 years. The double then, it's all of what I've just said, and it's for 8 years, and it's costing 200 euros. And then the All-Star is 500 euros. You're going to get your official certificate, which is personalized. You're going to have your fan story wall and the story about the person. you're going to have your tickets for the Ultimate Fan Day and meet the legends and sit down, get your photograph taken, and that goes across all of the packages. And then you get your name up on the wall of legends, and that's where, you know, you're there and you're there forever.
Log on to www.mystadiumseat.com for the ultimate Christmas gift for the avid GA fan in your life.
Absolutely. That sounds terrific, David. Thanks very much for joining us on the Premier View. All that information is available on mystadiumseat.com and on social media, Twitter, mystadiumseat, and Instagram, mystadiumseat. So if anyone wants any more information, you can certainly get that. There's a ton of information there. David Morgan of the Simple Stadium Committee, thanks very much for joining us on the Premier View.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay, lads, the Miller Shield kicked off last weekend, and the first game up was in Holy Cross at 11 o'clock Saturday morning. There for us was our two roving reporters, Gerry O'Neill there from Cap White and Enda Trace from Tumi Vera. Gerry, the North had a quite an easy win in this one. In the resplendent Kildangan jerseys, they can't stop winning. Yeah. Good to see a couple of Tumi Vera lads talked out in Kildangan jerseys as well. But the North weren't up, really hammered the South in the end, didn't they?
Yeah, in fairness, for the first 10-15 minutes, it was competitive. It was just kind of score for score until the North got the first goal, and then they kind of pulled away coming up to half time. But yeah, the North are very strong. They had a very strong team out. It's hard to know what the story with the South was. Were they turned down? Did a lot of lads turn down positions? It's hard to know. But the North looked super now, in fairness.
Yeah. There was a couple of good contributions, I believe, from Keane Darcy and David Leeson on the North side.
Yeah, Keane Darcy and Alan Tynan started in the middle of the field. Actually, got the first three scores of the game between them. Tynan got two and Darcy got one. But yeah, they kind of ran the show there up to half time, but they moved them at half time. I think Darcy went in centre forward for the second half, and he actually got three or four points in a row at the start of the second half from centre forward, and he looked a class apart. He really did. And Tynan came back on wing back there for the last 15 minutes, and he looks the real deal as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the South versus South. I suppose Dylan Walsh from Ballingarry, he was their main threat all day long. He does look very impressive now, for the supply of ball that he got. Like, it wasn't 80-20 ball or 70-30 ball. It was 50-50, and he was well able to win them. So yeah, for the South, Dylan Walsh was by far their main man, and the North, I suppose Darcy was the main man really. He looked the class player on the team, but for me, a man that I probably wouldn't have seen a lot of, but you'd always see him on the panel and the tip teams, is Quigley, fullback, James Quigley. Oh, he was very, very impressive, and he was marking Jack Shelley. Like, and there's a lot of talk about Jack Shelley's after having a good championship for Mullinahone, and Jesus, Quigley was outstanding. Like, and I didn't think he was as good as that. So he was a big positive, I believe, anyway.
Yeah. Of course, we're calling it the North, but it was actually a Northwest combination team. And Robbie Quirk came on there in the second half for the North.
He did.
How did Robbie go?
No, I was delighted, actually, because he wasn't down on the programme at all. But obviously, when he came on, I knew it was him. And I was delighted to see him. He's after getting strong. He's a lot bigger. He'd done fine. Look at that. Not a lot of ball came his way. But anything he had to do, he'd done it well. Like, he's going to be a good prospect, you'd imagine. Like, and I was delighted to see he actually got the call in there. And you never know, the weekend, like, he could be in, like, they might look at him against the West, like, to be a good old test for him, John. Yeah. So hopefully he gets another chance at it anyway.
Yeah. Enda, you were at that game as well. Would you concur with Gerry? Were those players the ones that stood out for you, Tyne and Ian Darcy?
Yeah, he was fairly spot on, Gerry, in fairness. David Gleeson as well, 2-4 from play, is a great day out, especially when, look, Davey, like, we haven't heard, look, he's playing for Ballinahinch at intermediate level, and it's hard to get yourself in the shop window when you're not getting to the latter stages with them in the county stages. So, like, he was a good underage player for Tip, very solid. He was very good the year they won the under-21 All-Ireland. scored 2-4. He was zooming about the place, onto breaks, battling for ball. He was very good. Thought he was a great player. He had a great game on the day. Alan Tynan definitely was the standout lad. Just his ability to travel with the ball and he's physical as well. He took a right shoulder there in the first half when he was travelling through with the ball and didn't knock a funk out of him. Just took it on, no problem. And his shooting's improved out of sight. Even when he was on the minor team in 2015, his striking wasn't anywhere near as crisp as it is now. So he looks a real prospect. And James Quigley he's playing well for Kildangan for a good few years now. He earned his place on the panel last year. And he's a very clever player. Like he's well able to mix it as well in the physical stakes, but he reads the game very well. Like he's out in front of his man an awful amount. And he's good on the ball. And he went to wing back in the second half and he looked comfortable there as well. So the North with only 17 players, like it was a very strong team. And you'd imagine once the under 21 is up as well, there'll be a few more lads to come in and have a look at. So from a South perspective, it was just outside of Dylan Walsh, maybe Sean Kennedy from Mary's there scored 4 or 5 points. Slim pickings on their end, I think.
Just mentioned you both mentioned James Quigley, and he stood out for me as well before I'd seen him play a club, Jerry. But I was always thinking that he was like an old style fullback where he'd need his two cornerbacks. But Enda said he went out in the wing. Do you think he'd be able to slot into the intercounty scene?
Definitely, because he'd probably be going to tip matches there for the last couple of years, and he has been on the panel. He's been in around the scene, and you're always wondering, how come he's never getting a shot? Even in the league, I don't know, did he get any game time in the league last year? I don't think he did, but he was always on the panel, and you'll be always wondering, Jesus, why isn't he getting a goal? And then I just made a few inquiries, and people saying, yeah, he's an out-and-out full-back, But Jack Shelley went out wing forward the other day, and he followed him, and he played wing-back. And GC arguably played better wing-back. He was actually very good, and he was very good under the high ball. He's very strong under the ball, and he's aggressive. He gets the ball, and it's out, and he's aggressive, and he's strong. He really impressed me enough, because I actually wouldn't have seen a whole pile of him, only from what I've heard. But he definitely impressed me, and I'm sure he impressed Colm and his boys as well, because it's hard to believe that there'd be maybe 10 or 12 better backs in the county than him in around the panel,
Yeah, well, I suppose last year was his first year, I think, on the panel, wasn't it? So, and especially the way Sheedy used to operate, he was never firing somebody in kind of in there. They were totally outstanding in their first year. So hopefully we'll see more of him and he can stay producing. The second game of the day, lads, was in Littleton at 2:00. Jerry, the West played the mid, an understrength mid side who had, I suppose, none of their Loughmore, Turles Airfield, Mine or Drum contingent, but still, I think it was very good game.
Yeah, the mids, they didn't line up, obviously, to the programme now. Lyndon Fairbrother and Ronan Tehan and Tom Hayes were missing from the programme, and Dean Carew, Upper Church, came in. Shane Dial, Brackens and Jack Butler, Upper Church, came in. And, geez, the mid had a great start. They went 8 points up. I think they went 1-7 to 2 points up. And it looked like, it was going to be similar enough to the first match that they were going to run away with it. Darrell Woods was causing havoc up front. He was very good now, in fairness. But the West pulled it back they got it back to 3 points. It was 1-11 to 1-8 at half time. Willie Barry got the goal for the West. It was a good goal. Rean Doody broke through the middle and drew the man and threw it in, and he finished it well. And yeah, they got it back to 3 points, and there was a bit of a breeze there, so you always thought they'd pull it back. And in the second half, then the West were well on top. They were by far the better team, and actually the scoreline kind of flattered the mid in the end. There was 3 points in at the end, but the West were probably 8-9 points better than them. The mid got a soft enough foul goal in the second half, but yeah, it was competitive. It was a good edge, it had a good cut. There was aggression, and there was a will to win there. You could see it. And probably at the start, the West boys seemed a bit nervous. They were a bit jittery on the ball. But yeah, once they got into it, they were very impressive. That's a strong half-back line. They had Owen Connolly, Enda Heflin and Dylan Quirk. That's very strong. and they were the best line on the field, and they were probably were three of the best players on the field as well.
Dylan Quirk was an interesting one. We had spoken about it last week, and his position and a wing back that he had played there before with Liam Cahill at under 21 level. But how did he go? Did he see?
Yeah, I think it was his own personal request to play wing back in this tournament. So I suppose he kind of had to produce the goods then. But he looks very solid under the ball. Looks very strong, very solid. Like, he's great strike of a ball as well. He didn't do himself any harm there anyway. He's probably drawn the next day now. Will tell a lot against the North. That'll be a fair test for him now. But he looks at home there. He doesn't look out of place there.
Jar Brown as well played very well. He scored five or six points from play, I believe, and good to see him in a good bit of form.
Yeah, no, he's in the first half. He was centre forward, and he was kind of bunched a bit. You know, he couldn't get much room, but got a point, I think, in the first half. Geez, he came alive in the second half. Kind of came out the field a small little bit into space, and geez, he just took off from there. Like, every time you looked up, he was free. Like, the running he was doing off the ball was unbelievable. Like, and he got five or six points from play. Yeah, he was outstanding. Like, he's serious pace. He's a serious talent, as we all know. Definitely put his hand up, and as I said, he's probably only going to improve again. Dinard will be a fair challenge to him as well against Robert Byrne, because Robert Byrne did have a good game for Dinard, but he was kind of left on his own all the time. So it'll be interesting to see what way Gerard lines up against him, if he's on him. But very, very impressive.
Before we finish up on the Miller Shield, Ed Donnelly, I don't know, did you see it? He attended both games, and he picked his team of the two games. And he had Reece Shelley in the goals. I suppose in the Midwest game, you two of the up and coming goalies, Jerry and Aaron and Reece, were on show.
Yeah.
How did you think they went?
Yeah, Reece is an unbelievable slap for ball. It's actually ridiculous how far he can hit the ball and the power. Like, he was dropping the ball in the first half down inside the 14, like at the other end of the field. Like, it's unbelievable the power he has. He had a bit of a breeze with him. But in fairness to Aaron Brown, his puckouts were going a long way, and he was picking out men as well. Like, he's a great puck out as well. But one small little error Aaron did for the second goal, just a misplaced pass. But look, that happens. He's a phenomenal goalie, like, and he's a phenomenal talent, as is Reece. And they're probably the two best up and coming that is in the county. On the day, I suppose Reece on the day between the two matches was the pick of him. Hogan obviously didn't do anything wrong for the North, and his puckouts were good, but he wasn't really tested.
Yeah, it's an interesting to watch going forward. He had Quigley that you mentioned. He had Johnny Ryan at cornerback. Did Johnny Ryan go well for the West?
Yeah, he did. In fairness, I like Johnny Ryan a lot. Like, he's a serious hurler, and what I like about him is his aggressiveness when he gets the ball and off the ball as well, and in the tackle, he's very aggressive. Like, and you know, he's only going to improve as well. He's very young, so yeah, he definitely deserves his place on Ed's team.
Yeah, and he had Nina's Philip Hickey at wing forward. It was Emmanuel you would have picked out as well from that first game.
Yeah, well, Philip's been probably in the last two or three years one of Nina's better players throughout the championships, and he's got serious pace. He's not physically imposing or anything like that, but he gets around and he's just very direct. Like, for the two goals he got, he could have tipped over points, but he said he pinned ears back and he went bald headed first. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's caught it at an inter-county level now, but like he's 24 or 25, and he's been a consistent performer at club level for Nina. So if he puts in another performance like that, like two goals, is going to put you in the shop window with the selectors, and they're going to take note of it. So we'll see how he goes the next day. Like, as I say, the South were very poor on the day, and it's hard to know how much you can take it at face value until they're tested against in a harder match, and they'll get that against the West the next day. So we'll find out more then.
Yeah, so the round two of the Miller Shield goes ahead this weekend. It's the Mid and the North, the West and the North, and the Mid and the South, and those games are on Saturday morning, in both of them in Clonoulty, I believe. So look, Jerry, thanks for joining us on the Premier View, and we'll talk to you again.
No bother. Thanks, Mike.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support or make someone's Christmas. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Semple Stadium, where every name matters.
Okay, we're joined once again on the Premier View by Tipperary GAA Football Board PRO Anthony Shelley as we look back on a great weekend of football in the county and Loughmore regaining the senior football title as only Loughmore can in dramatic fashion. Anthony Shelley, very welcome again.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
And we'll start right there. And I suppose the quality of John McGrath, Anthony, scoring that winning goal in what was practically injury time to win the senior, a pulsating senior final, I would say, in that it was very, very close. Bare the first, 3 or 4 minutes when commercials went 1-2 to no score up. After that, it was nip and tuck the whole way through, wasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, God, this is a game, I suppose, commercials will look back and say that they could have won it and they should have won it. But to be honest, I think Loughmore deserves to win it. You know, when take the first 5 minutes out of it, I thought they were a better team. I mean, my stats at the end of the day showed that they had 58% possession compared to commercials 42, you know. Mm-hmm. So once they got to grips on the commercials, pace of play and everything like that, they were. I thought they were probably the better team, even though commercials led for the whole game. Look, you shouldn't be surprised with another cracking game between these two. I think it was 2019 and went to extra time over in Borland. Then last year there was only a point in it, and this year there was only a point in it. So there's actually nothing between these two teams. I think last week I refused to call it because I didn't actually know which way it would go. And but having said that, now, Mike, if you had met me 10 minutes before the game when I had heard that John Maher and Brian McGrath weren't starting, I would have called it for commercials at that stage. So that'll show you what an achievement it was for Loughmore. To win it without those two, because a lot of teams, their heads have been on the ground if they were losing two players of that quality from the starting lineup. But Loughmore just seemed to get on with it, you know, and put somebody else in to do a job, and off you go. And in the end, well deserved winners. Great goal from John at the end. Sure, look, there's only John can do. We said last week he's probably one of the best footballers, if not the best footballer in the county, and he proved again, like, you know, finding a bit of space there where nobody would find you space, and a great move two or three hand passes, and there he is inside the box with a load of space. He did the same against Mile Rovers in the semi-final for his goal, like, you know, a packed box, he seems to have space, but it's obviously a sign of a quality player.
It wasn't even 10 seconds before he scored the goal was, I suppose, what we expect from Loughmore was the turnover, and they went after, I think it was Young Murphy back in the corner, and was it Brian or someone got a hand in and dispossessed him, and next thing Brian had the ball in his hand, and it was McGrath, but that tendency to just never give up and to go after that turnover so deep into the game just shows the conditioning and fitness of these lads, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I thought it was a kind of a schoolboy error, to be honest, from Murphy to come back into the traffic. Like, you know, I mean, they had got it out to the wing. You just had to be one tackle out there, break that tackle, and you're out, and the game is probably over. But you know, held up, panicked, came back into the traffic. And not only did he come back into heavy traffic, he came back into traffic in rush hour as well. Like, you know, so the three lads got around him. I think three McGraths got around him. They won the ball. It was a brilliant turnover because there was, you know, a lot of the time, and I've watched it again, you know, and a lot of time when you see that, you think just there has to be a free there somewhere, but there wasn't even a hint of a free. It was just a real proper turnover. Not sure, was it Brian then kept his head. You know, he could have panicked there. Lovely hop and turn. Give it to Kieran, Kieran to Liam and to John. And, you know, again, I thought it was, when I seen it the first time, I said, jeez, that's brilliant. You know, he could have tipped that one over the bar. It might have been easier. But when I watched it again, actually, you know, it probably was the right thing to do. Now, it still takes a bit of balls and everything to slot it away the way he did it, and a bit of talent as well. Like, but it was easier actually go for the goal than the point at that stage. You know, it was just
way it saw, saw a good interview with Brian and Stephen Gleeson after the match. And Brian actually said the same thing, that maybe he should have put it over the bar. You know, that was it the wrong? Well, obviously it wasn't the wrong decision because it went into the back of the net. But if he had a miss, or if Michael O'Reilly had got a foot to it or whatever, it would have people would have been saying, isn't it, that it should have gone over the bar?
Yeah, look, the pass in from Liam was brilliant. Like, it put him facing the goal. You know. God, I think he had to go for goal at that stage. As I said, on the day I thought he should have tapped it over, but when I looked at the replay, I thought, he had to go for goal at that situation.
And a sniper like John is always going to go for a goal from there.
I'd say he didn't even think of a point.
Absolutely. About 10 minutes before that, Anthony was what I thought was a very pivotal point in the game. Commercials were true. Ross Peters had. I thought what he should have scored a second goal for commercials, and Shane Hennessy got down to save it. And then about 30 seconds later, Sam Kendi gets black card, and commercials are down to 14 for the remainder. That, what, 30-40 seconds, probably, it was a very pivotal, I won't say it turned the game, but it was definitely a very pivotal part of the game. Commercials could have been out of sight, and then 30 seconds later, Lochmore are kind of, I suppose, cock of the walk. Commercials down to 14, we have a chance here.
You're very diplomatic, Mike. It did turn the game. Ross doesn't look, he'd be disappointed with it. He didn't connect with it at all. I mean, Shane was expecting a blast and had nearly, you know, dived before it was even kicked, kind of guessing. And he was nearly on the ground when it rolled. And he did well, actually, to scoop it off the line, to be fair. You know, considering that he had kind of gone the wrong way on it, or ended up in his backside, and, you know, got down, got across, and scooped it off the line to safety. Ball comes out. I think this is one that, if Derek looks back on it, he'll think he got wrong. Seamus held John up. You can actually see John looking for the free from Derek, and he should have got the free. There's no doubt about it, but he didn't get it. So John just moved on a bit. And said, here, I'm going to make sure I get it the second time. And Seamus hadn't let him go. And John hits the ground. Seamus falls over him. You know, I mean, it has to be the main rule in the black card. It has to be deliberate. And it wasn't deliberate. You know, I'm not even sure it was a booking, but at worst, it was a yellow card. But I wouldn't even be sure it was that. And he did go for a second bite, I suppose, all right, when he tried to stop the quick free kick from John. But I mean, again, that's not a black card. And I just think in a county final or any game, but particularly in a county final, you have to be 100% sure that it's a black card before you issue a black card. You know, I thought it was very harsh and Sham, though. You know, John, you know, he fouled him all right. There's absolutely no doubt about that, but I don't think it was a black card. And I've watched it about six times now at this stage. And I still can't see a black card.
To start of the game, Anthony, the commercials got off to a flyer and they were 1-2 up. They had a point from a free from Sean O'Connor, and next thing they had a goal on the board. Conal Kindy was gone straight through Liam Ryan, and then Michael Quinlivan puts the ball away. And next thing, it was 1-2 to no score. At that point, it looked like commercials were going to run away with it. They were right on top and playing the better football.
Yeah, they were flying at that stage, and it was a great goal. Like, Conal Kindy made his run, and it was an absolutely brilliant run from Liam Ryan off the shoulder. Mm-hmm. You know, you could see him kind of powering up, and he gave it to Michael, and it was a class goal. In fairness, you couldn't see any way back for Lochmore at that stage, but. To be honest, I was in the old stand watching it. Quite a good view of it. And Lochmore gave a lesson on what to do off the ball. you know, the Commercials were playing the way they wanted it at that stage. They were getting it out wide, taking them on the wings and only coming into the traffic at the last minute, like, you know, you're in and out as quickly as possible. Yeah. That was a joy to watch for those 5 minutes. But for the rest of the game, Lochmore gave an exhibition and what you do off the ball, like the wing backs and the corner backs and everything, they tracked their men all day. So now every time the ball went wide, you know, whether it was Michael or Coleman Kennedy, they had a battle, you know, just to beat them in. And Lochmore, big strong team, like the likes of John Maher, Tommy Maher and them, you know, they really, and even when Commercials turned them over in the back line and they were breaking out, they tracked and tracked and tracked. And it was just, you know, for anyone doing video analysis, it was an absolute exhibition on what you do when you lose possession. Yeah. You know, there was never a free Commercials man to give it to, you know.
Yeah.
It was absolutely, I think they won this game off the ball as much as what they did on the ball. And I suppose that's the commitment of the Lochmore lads, to prepare to do that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, in my day, if you asked me to do that, there's no way, you know, just give me the ball. I'm not here to do the donkey work like that, you know. And a lot of lads would be like that, you know. But no, they know what they have to do to get over the line. And that's why probably people say, you know, that it's, you know, the sum of the parts is greater, that they, every single one of them buys in and trusts each other. And it was an absolute lesson on what to do, you know, when you lose possession. Everybody tracks their man and you don't give them easy possession. Brilliant stuff.
Yeah, after that first 5 minutes or 5 or 6 minutes, Lochmore seemed to settle and they got a couple of points on the board. By half time, there were only two down, 1-5 to 6. But they probably could have gone in, or should have maybe gone in ahead. Lee McGrath rattled the crossbar with a shot there, about 5 minutes from the end of the half. But yeah, like as you said, that willingness to cut everything off for Commercials probably brought Lochmore back in, and then they did what they did best, is just and no panic, no, just claw it back. Keep in the game, wasn't it?
You know, I mean, Liam was very unlucky. I say he actually hit it too well, but you believe, you know, he caught it as sweet as a nut and came off the crossbar. That would have put them going in ahead, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, but they were also, you know, they pushed right up in the Commercials kick out and forced them to go long an awful lot. And there was 29 kickouts in that game now, and they won 19 of them. So that gives you a fair platform, you know, to go and attack. Like, you know, 19 out of 29 kickouts won. It's good going. It's a great stat, like, you know. And then the free count, people were saying 27-11. I actually had it at 28-10, but I might have got excited and put a free in the wrong box at one stage. But, you know, but Clonmel might give out about that stat, but to be honest, most of the frees were frees, like, you know. You know, Lochmore are clever, like, you once they feel the contact, they go down, like, but Clonmel going in over the top a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they can't, it's probably the frees that they didn't get, they might be given out about, but certainly.
I don't like that stat, actually. No, I hate when I hear, and look, I'm probably guilty of it myself in the past. It's, you know, so the other team has won 20 frees and we've won 10. Like, the referee's job isn't to make sure both teams get an equal amount of frees.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what I'm saying. That, you know, yeah, there'll always be one or two contentious ones. But, you know, it was the same against us. They gave 29 frees against us, and we would say, look, 25 or 26 of them are probably frees, you know. And the same here, like, so. But, you know, it can be a tactic as well to slow down the play and stop the quick counter-attack, like, you know. So
just on, I suppose, players that played well, Lochmore introduced Evan Sweeney at half-time, and he had a very, very influential part in the game, played really well. So has settled into that role in both codes, kind of as coming on and doing what he needs to do. He played very well for Lochmore. John, who got man of the match, I think it's his sixth in a row as man of the match. Now, I wouldn't have said he was man of the match. I thought Conor Ryan was excellent for Lochmore and might have just shaded the best player for Lochmore on the day. But anyway, John got it. But I did think Evan played very well in that second half when they needed someone. John, obviously, and Conor Ryan.
Evan did play very well and chipped in with a point as well. And he did the very same role against my Rovers in the semi-final and was vital to him even winning that game. Look, he's a class act. He's been doing it for many years now. There's no backward step in him. He goes forward every time he gets, and he's always looking to create something. But like you, I would have actually thought Conor Ryan was man of the match. 7 points in total, 5 frees, but he had to nail every single free because there was none of them tap overs, to be fair. And he did, which showed a bit of bottle, at the end of the day, I suppose John had one too. But I suppose one thing on that goal, just to go back to it, and I thought it was a bit of a mistake from the commercials point of view, and about 58 minutes gone, Ross Peters had been doing a fine job on John McGrath. He tracked him everywhere, and as Ross often does, had been doing a fine job. And when they took Ross, no, he might have been out on his feet, you don't know what's going on the sideline, but when they took John or Ross off with about 58, 59 minutes gone, I said, God, I hope you don't pay for that, in my head. And, I didn't think it was any coincidence that John found himself on his own in the box, 2 minutes after Ross has gone off the field. Ross would have tracked that and might have been a different result, But, that's near, you just don't know. Yeah. So
commercials obviously contributed handsomely to this game and were, I suppose, maybe haven't led for so much, were unlucky not to win it. But, a standout player for them was Kevin Fahey again. And Kevin is a player I've admired for the last 5 or 6 years in the Tip Colours. And I thought he was outstanding again on Sunday.
Absolutely brilliant, actually he's probably, since he moved into centre-back, and particularly for Tip, he's just gone to a different level altogether and probably the most consistent Tip player and commercials player. He's definitely commercials player of the year anyway, from what I've seen him this year. But for the last 2 or 3 years from Tip, he's been outstanding, just a top player. Commercial contributed to the game, all right. But you'd expect that with the players they have. They're a class side. Let's not forget, just to tell you how good they are and the achievement that Loughmore pulled off, that's only commercials' third loss in 7 years. That's a fair stat. That's fair going from any team, to lose 3 times in 7 years. It is unreal, but two of those have been to their arch enemy Loughmore, so Loughmore are every bit as good. The two best teams going at it in the county, not between them. 'Tis no surprise it was the cracker that it was.
Yeah, absolutely. So Loughmore going to represent Tip now in the Munster Senior Football Championship, and their quarter final is against Aroge of Innes, which is on in the Cusick Park in Innes on Sunday, the 5th of December. At 1 o'clock.
Yeah, interesting there. As far as I know, the Air Oakbeat, who came up Maria Bricken in the Clare final, but as far as I know, a former commercials player, Luke Moore. Luke used to play wing back with him and would have won a few county finals with him. I think Luke is a member of the Air Oak panel now. He's living down in Ennis. Right. I think So they haven't got all the commercials over here yet.
Haven't got rid of them yet.
Yeah. And I think the winners of that then, if they can get over that, and they might, because there's such an experienced outfit at this stage. Aroge have won their first county final in maybe 10 or 15 years. They probably go on then to play the, if they do get over it, get on to play the winners of the Cork champions, which would be Clonakilty or St. Finbarr's, which you'd imagine would be St. Finbarr's. Stephen Sherlock should nearly have come for Clonakilty on his own, I think I read during the week he's 335 from 5 games this year. I would give Loughmore. I don't know much about Aroge Innes, but I suppose any team that beats Kilmurry or Brecon can't be too bad.
Football and yeah, there
I would well. Certainly give Loughmore a serious chance of progressing further in Munster if they're interested in it. Depends now how the hurling goes, I suppose.
This is true. In the other big game of the day on Sunday in the stadium, Drumminch got one over on Grant Mochler. We were talking about last week, we thought Grant Mochler might win this one, but I had always a sneaky feeling for Drum once they were knocked out of the hurling earlier on in the time that they could do something like this. And so it came to prove. But they gave a very good performance, Drum, and led from start to finish.
Yeah, they were dominant from the first whistle, like, you know, but I mean, their experience, the difference in size, everything, you know, worked in their favour. I actually thought myself that Grange Boulter would win, and I thought it was a fine day that it would really play into Grange Boulter's hands, but sure, it couldn't have been more wrong, like, you know. Drum have a fine system of play. They're very hard to break down. Grange Boulter probably needed to be a bit more patient. They're a very young Grange Boulter team. Like, I mean, they won the under 21 this year, and 12 of that under 21 team. And I know it was the 2020 under 21, but it was only played in July. 12 of that team started on Sunday. So, like, that's very, very young. And, you know, we would have said last year was probably a year too soon for them. So that's two in a row, which is going to be hard to, hard to take. But at the same time, you know, I think their innocence and their naivety showed on Sunday. I was doing the co-commentary in that with Stephen. My debut might be asked again, but I was nearly sick of saying the same thing. They made the same mistake over and over and over again, just kept running into heavy traffic, like where they needed to move, you know, soloing it into heavy traffic, like where the ball, they didn't need to be taking touches, and needed to be moved out wide and just come into the traffic to take your score and get out of there again, like, you know. But look, that said, Drum, they have a fine system to play. When they win the ball, they don't really give it back to you. And some really good players, like a full forward, David Collins, is a fine target man. But I mean, but Grange Moulter never, and I was disappointed with this, they never came to terms. The Drum dropped Shamey back into centre back position, and it released Emmett Maloney forward. And they never came to terms with Emmett's role, like, and he was basically in the freedom of the park to do what he liked, you know. And set up attack after attack, you know. And Shamey stopped any attack. He's a big, strong lad, like, you know. But when they got ahead very early on, I think it was that Hodge Campion got a goal, and Jamie Maloney got another one. So, you know, the game was nearly over by half time. You know? Drum completely dominant from start to finish. Ran out, I don't know what the score was in the end. It was 2-11 to 9 points. And it could have been more, to be honest, you know.
Yeah. When you look through the Drum team, Anthony, like, a lot of them are, well, I suppose if you follow club football or club hurling in Tipperary, a lot of these lads are household names. I mean, the two Purcells, Michael and Fintan, there in the full back line.
You've been two great games as well, by the way. The whole full back line played very well for Drum, Conan included, like, you know.
Emmett Maloney, Jamie Maloney, you know, very recognizable names. David Collins, that you mentioned, David Butler, and then the two Campions. Like, I mean, they're young guys that are well renowned.
Very good players, and actually. Yeah. First cousins of the McGraths and Lochmore as well. So, and then on the bench, like, they brought on Stephen Nolan, who had been, you know, Stephen is probably one of their better players, but he's been injured for most of the year. So he came on there and did very well. So, like, they have a strong bench as well. Like,
yeah,
Drum, you know, they have Port Law in the quarterfinal.
That's right.
And you'd imagine that, you know, you'd nearly give them a chance in that, like, you know. And if they just stick to their system and play, like, that system is so hard to break down, you know. Play like they played last Sunday, they should you'd imagine to be capable of getting over that with the team they have. Now, the semi-final might be different. They played the Kerry champions in that, which would be in the game, or Beaufort. And even though Beaufort, I've beaten the Gael for the last couple of years they played, I think the Gael are the common team in Kerry, in intermediate Kerry at the moment, and sure, they had 9 of the St. Brendan's team that was beaten on telly there last Saturday night by us and Stacks and penalties.
Right, yeah.
You know, including Jack Barry and Dermot O'Connor. So if they do get to the quarter final, that should be a cracker, you know. Or the semi-final, I should say. That should be a cracker. If they could get over whoever wins that, the Gael or Beaufort game, you know, easily a Munster championship there for him if they could get over that one. But I think that'll be their stumbling block. They'll have to really perform to get over the Kerry winners.
Yeah, no, but very, very worthy winners there of the intermediate title, and the best of luck to them. That game is in Tempe Tuohy on the 4th, actually, at 1. The junior final was on. I know you weren't at it. I wasn't at it either, actually. But Ballina had a quite an easy victory over Kickham's. Very strong Ballina team. Stephen O'Brien, Michael Green, and then you had Dan O'Mara and Willie Connors there of Kildangan fame who were also playing. And quite a few others there on the Ballina team. They're a strong team.
Team. Like, and I mean, they even had, I was just looking at their team that... they made two changes from the semi-final. Like Tom Lee and Willie Connors actually didn't start the semi-final. They came in for Conor McGuire and Darragh King. Like, so, you know, if you're able to replace a wing back and a centre back with Tom Lee and Willie Connors, you're not doing too bad. Like, you know?
They're
a really, really strong team. And I mean, look, from, you know, I know neither of us at it, but we did say in the preview the last time that Finn Looney and Matthew Power in the championship so far had nearly been giddy from scoring points, you know. Yeah. And they did the same again last week. I mean, they got 1-7 in between them, and then you had Stephen O'Brien chipping in with another 1-2. So, you know, they're a serious, serious outfit. And they go on now to play the Limerick champions. Well, they're not Limerick champions, Mount Collins.
Yeah.
Mount Collins aren't actually Limerick champions. Yeah. They were beaten in the semi-final. I know very little about Mount Collins, except that it's down near Abbey Field. But the junior final in Limerick was actually between Father Casey's and Newcastle West, but both of them are second teams, so they can't go into Munster. So they had a playoff between Mount Collins and Croom. To see, and Mount Collins won it by a point. It was 9-8. So, going on that, yeah, and looking at the team Ballina have, you'd say, you know, they would have to certainly be strong favourites to get through that. And if they get through that, then they're playing the Waterford winners, which would be Mount Sion, which, you know, probably more renowned as a hurling team, but they're in and out of intermediate and junior. They're up and down between intermediate and junior. They won the junior about 4 or 5 years ago, obviously got relegated back down, and now have won it again. They have a lot of their hurlers play on the football team. I think I had a look at their team there the other day and looked at the hurling team as well, and I think there was 9 or 10 of their hurling team were on it, including the great Aussie Austin Gleeson. You know, sure, I mean, if they beat Ballina in a semi-final, Austin will probably get player of the year, you know. Lee Keegan and all these lads will be trying to side, like, you know, Austin, you know, as he'll get player of the year now. But look, I mean, again, I actually think that, you know, Ballina could go a long way in this Munster Championship to go very deep into it.
Yeah, and very good for North football, I suppose, the profile of football in the division, that Ballina winning the junior, and I see Nina are into the junior B final. They play Aherlow this weekend, but that's
county finals played so far. Would you believe that no South team has won a county football final this year so far?
Wow, that is a good stat, man. Yeah, that's interesting. But good for football in the North Division that two of their teams are
absolutely brilliant. You know, like, I don't know now what the story around Willie Connors and Dan O'Mara is. For can they play? Can they play in Munster? What's the story there? Like, you know, but sure, I suppose somebody on the board might find it out for us.
I'm sure they know when Munster comes around. The other two finals of last weekend, Anthony, real quick before we finish up, you went to see Rockwell claim the Tom Cusick. We said this was going to be a close game, and it was between the two West teams.
Cracking game, absolutely cracking game. I mean, they both went at it hammer and tongs from the start. I was delighted it was at it, actually. Rockwell probably, you know, were definitely better than kicked an awful lot of wides, you know, but I mean, they were 4-2 up after 10 minutes and probably had four wides on top of that as well that they probably should have. But the change of the game came just before the water break. I mean, Aherlow got it back to 4-3 and were just coming up to the water break. Tom Tobin from Rockwell broke through. He got through three lads, went for the one tackle, and they all missed him. And suddenly, once he had broken through that gap, he found himself one-on-one with the keeper, and he slotted it slotted into the bottom corner. It was a great goal from his point of view. I'd say Arlo would be very disappointed with it. But then, you know, the second quarter then, you know, it was 1-4 to 3 points at the water break. In the second quarter, Arlo took over and had it right back to they were back within a point or two coming up to half time. Rockwell only got a point in that quarter. Liam Fahey scored a cracking point from about 35, 40 yards. You know, then Arlo took over after half time, going into the second water break, and was 1-5 to 8. And you know, say it was all Arlo. I mean, Arlo did what Arlo normally do: the horse into everything, turnover ball. They were getting it into to Barry Grogan, and Barry, I think, came away with 5 or 6 points as he normally does. Then with 25 minutes to go, Arlo were gone ahead. They were a point ahead, 1-5 to 9. And then Gavin Ryan got an excellent point. And then Rocky Maloney went deep into, you know, stoppage time. I'm not sure whether it was a free or a sideline, but it was right on the sideline anyway. Wrong side of the field for a left footer. Alec, Connor Sweeney and Maurice Fitzgerald. Outside of the right foot, swings it over the bar. An absolutely brilliant point, well worthy of winning any final or any match, but particularly a final. I believe it was the first senior county, or first senior county trophy that Rockwell have ever won. So there was great excitement down when they won it, like, you know, to win their first ever senior trophy at county level. So, cracking game. And, absolutely delighted we went down to it.
Great
value. Looked like, and fair play to both teams, because it was a game that could easily boil over. Like, it was heavy hitting in and everything, but it never did. It never did. There wasn't even a, you know, never sparked off. But
good win for Rockwell after they finished bottom of their group, a great win for them, and congratulations to them on their first senior trophy. Is right. The other final of the weekend sees Cap White, county champions of the world, winning the under 19B against a fancied Upper Church team, but yes, on penalties, and we'll talk about that there in a minute. But a good game. You had mentioned the four guys you had mentioned last week on the preview were excellent for the Church. I thought Pat Ryan at centre back had a great game.
He's a fine player, isn't he?
Yeah. Luke Shanahan then at centre forward, off his left and off his right. Very, very comfortable footballer. Excellent. And Oisin Tracy in the middle of the field. James Griffin, then I think you mentioned James. He played full back, but it was a former minor goalie. He brought off a good save, actually, from a penalty in extra time. Before it even went to penalties, he had saved a penalty. That could have won it for us. A good save, and he played very well. But on our own side, two young lads, Conor Martin and Thomas Mahoney, were the two wing backs. Conor Martin played centre forward for the minor hurlers last year, but he was excellent at wing back. Really, real, real good footballer. They had Sean Ryan there from the Church had gone out to wing forward to kind of. He'd normally played midfield and went out wing forward, kind of stopped Connor getting up and down the line. But Connor had a great, great game. And Tristan Stokes there. The Church actually led 1-7 to 4 with 15 to go. And we got back. We got it back level. Just deep into injury time now, I have to say. A super free from Stephen D, who is of the Solihull club, a left foot free. He kicked it with the outside of the foot and went over. It was a very dogged affair, a lot of hard hitting, I suppose similar to the game you were at. It had been misting and the ground was cutting up, and it was there was a lot of hard hitting and tackling and stuff in it. But yeah, I mean, look, it went to penalties. It's certainly not a good way to win, or well, it's fine to win it, but it's certainly not a good way to lose a game. For the Church after.
No, I was surprised with penalties, because I had, you know, what did you say? It was 1-7 to 4 up at one stage, were they? Yeah, I was getting the updates on Twitter there, and I was up into town, obviously, at the Dam Cusack, and I kind of had stopped following it. I thought, should the Church have that? Like, you know, and next thing, I just glanced at it again. And the Church, whether the tweet that came through said that the Church were 2-0 up in penalties.
They did, we missed our first penalty. Well, they went first and they scored. So they were one up, and then we scored. We missed. So, and then they got their.
All right. Yes, they were too. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the finals from last weekend. Anthony Shelley, Tipperary Football PRO, thanks a million for joining us on the Premier View.
No problem, Mike.
Make someone's Christmas. Visit mystadiumseat.com.
Yeah, so lads, the big game of the weekend is Thurles Sarsfields and Loughmore in the replay. Loughmore going for their second county title in 7 days. Sean, are you as confident as you were 2 weeks ago?
Not, Mike. I don't know what I am, to be honest. I'm going to hop in the car in the morning and go away for a few days thinking just tide or something, because Loughmore momentum is huge like at the moment, you know. So like that last minute goal against Clamel was worth, like what that's worth in terms of team spirit and momentum in the parish and everything is unreal. Like rumours around John Mayer's hamstring isn't good, but it's Loughmore. Like if he can walk, he'll play. Like so Brian Brad last year with a thumb, like he gave an exhibition with half thumb. So we need to be at our very, very best, to be honest.
Yeah, in the based on the last day, do you think that there'll be any changes? I won't say personnel wise, but I mean tactically going into this game.
I don't see there being any changes tactically, to be honest. I'd say it'll be more par for the course. Thurles are playing a specific way all year and they're not going to change now. It's worked for them for large patches. They might be a bit concerned. They've started well in games, playing the long ball in, but teams in the semi-final and the drawing game, the teams started to get their grips with a bit, dropping someone back to make sure that Paddy Creedon didn't have any space. Dennis Maher wasn't winning primary ball, so I think this kind of has it reminds me a bit of 2014 All-Ireland for Loughmore. Everything went right from the first game and they just didn't get over the line. I think Thurles, they only had three or four lads hurling really well out of the whole team, so you'd imagine that they'll have a few more lads coming up with bigger performances the next day, so could be a missed chance for Loughmore, I think.
Yeah, Sean, I don't know whether you have any inside information into the Sarres camp, but how or what way will you handle Super John McGrath, who's going for 7 men in the matches in a row?
I think the only way to handle him is actually knock down the ridge to come out a lot more in the morning, because he gets the field, to be honest. Like, I didn't know what to do. We might try someone else on him, but like, as he said, he just pops up anywhere. Again, I think they said there, like Loughmore were exceptional last day. And, like, we may have learned more from that, kind of watching it back and analysing it and seeing that. But again, you've got him form and you might mix up. So who's on John, which I say we could do, to be honest.
Yeah. Do you think in the Ronan Maher will have as much influence on the game from centre-back as he did the last day, or will Loughmore try to push up on him and not let him on the ball as much?
Well, in the first half, Loughmore, their use of the ball was very poor for large patches. There were two Mahers were there, just the two of them, they're hitting a high ball on top of them, and you're out of hiding to nothing doing that, kind of making heroes of them in early in the half. But in terms of trying to stop the Mahers being in the game, it's not going to happen really, is it? It's kind of the same with John McGrath. Like, you just have to hope you can curtail their influence as much as you can. Like Ronan was one of their better players the last day, and he's one of Tip's best players the last couple of years, like, so to say you're going to stop him hurling is it's difficult. But you know, it's hard to see how Loughmore can play any better than they did the last day. Like everything went right from look bar the two early goals. Everything was going right and they had the game down to a T. John Maher was cleaning up ball. If John Maher's missing, maybe that could be a big difference. Like I know John McGrath got man of the match, but John Maher was unreal that day, and so was Kieran Connolly. So it's hard to call. It's hard to know if you have the bounce coming from the football for Loughmore versus Thurles having played poorly and coming into the game, and surely they'll be improved. So, you know, where is the match going to be won and lost? It's going to be hard to call again.
Yeah, we're not too sure how bad the hamstring injury is for John Maher, but it certainly kept him out of the football. I don't think he even togged out last weekend, which, as Sean was saying, they're kind of, if you're from Loughmore and you're carrying an injury, well, you're not the day of a county final, but to actually keep him out of the game, there must be something to it. But if he wasn't to tug out the weekend, is that just Brian straight into centre-back, do you think?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Straight up, yeah. Very simple, yeah. Put Brian in centre-back, yeah.
We're losing the man then. Like John Maird last day was very good under the breaking ball. Watching, like, but Brian do that then, that kind of frees up, like, you know, if John doesn't play, kind of advantage and their backs forward towards, like, which hope everyone kind of play the final. You wouldn't like anyone to miss out to injury and that, but like the form John Maird last day was, his tactical awareness of the game and his reading was phenomenal. Like, so with Brian McGrath step into that, Brian was unreal under puckouts himself. So they might drop someone back. Lockmore have plans, like, if they know what to do, but I have a feeling if John Maird can go at all, he'd be on the field.
A good few of the Sarah's lads must be under pressure for places, Sean.
Yeah, they could mix up one or two, but I say same thing could start. But again, if you don't form, there's subs that should be coming in. Like, we have subs there, there's panels, the players there that will mix up for sure.
Yeah, it certainly has the makings of an interesting game this weekend, and hopefully it doesn't fall foul to what we've seen in replays before, where the good drawing game is followed by a fairly damp squib of a replay. But I don't think we'll see this with these two teams. And as you said, Lockmore certainly got a bounce off the football, so they'll be going in with their heads held high. Sean, you're obviously tentatively on the Sarah's side of the fence. In the, do you know, are you on the fence as usual, or is there a side you're going to pick this time?
There's hardly going to be another draw this time anyway. I backed Turles last day, and they played. Jesus, they played. Give them a 4 out of 10 team performance, and they still managed to come out of the game without losing. So, if they improve 20-30%, I think they'll beat Lockmore, especially if there's question marks over John Maher. John Maher doesn't start, they don't win. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Very good. So that game goes ahead at, I think it's 3:15, isn't it? Or on Sunday in the stadium, €10 for tickets, 15 on the day, I believe, and the game is live on TG4 again. The other hurling games of the weekend, let's see, our intermediate and junior A winners go out into Munster action. In the minor out on Sunday as well. I think it's at around the same time as the county final. They're playing Kerry, Kilmiley from Kerry, isn't it?
Kilmiley, so they're the senior champions in Kerry and going into the intermediate divisional then. I remember when we were winning county finals a few years ago, we played Kilmiley a few times and they always have a few decent hurlers. So it'll be a challenge for mine, considering they're not what they're after winning. They're our junior champions and they're going up to intermediate. So they're going to be playing senior clubs. So it'll be a big step up in quality for them. So they'll just be glad to be getting into a Munster campaign. It'll be novel for them and see how they get on.
In the junior A, let's Skeheena Rinka are out. We failed to mention it in the last day. Skeheen won the junior A. They beat your near neighbour, Sean Holy Cross, in the final. A brilliant last quarter, scored 10 points without reply from 12-9 to 19-12 winners. So that was quite a good win, and they go up onto the intermediate grade for next year. But they're playing Kerry opposition. It'll be good for the South Division and for Skeheen to have a good run in this competition, if at all possible.
Yeah, and like that was a big win for Skeheena Rinka. Over a fancy Holy Cross team now who've lost two county finals this year, last year, June, and this year, which is disappointing. Like last quarter, Skeheena Rinka's blew them out of the water, whatever happened. Like that water break is a killer of games. Talk to Holy Cross lads, they just said just the last quarter of games you've seen over the years there, over last year, like games change. But Skeheena Rinka going into that now, like there's some Brian Hurlers and bit fans Holy Cross team, and have a lot to do to kind of up against the with level the rat and tip at the moment and whole grade and down the line and that. But hopefully give a good count for themselves. And all them games, think of the weekend, are actually live on Clubber. So there's 5 or 6 hurling games weekend live on Clubber. So if lads want to watch Heli there Saturday and Sunday, and then the TG4 have the Sarah's game. It's a good weekend of action on the couch if you want.
Yeah, no, Clubber, a great website there with all the games. And I think Inda, you were at a Hearty game there today, but Clubber had all 5 Hearty games, I believe, today. But as regards Tip schools in the Hearty, Cashel had a great win over Flannans. You were at the Turles Temple Moor game, and Turles won it quite handy, I think, in the end, didn't they?
Yeah, it was handy. The first quarter, it was tightish. Temple Moor they battled hard and they kept it tight. But once the first goal went in, I think it was your man of the Mahers from Mike Harkey, Joe Maher, I think. He got a goal and it spread it out to 5 points, and then once the second half came around, they blew them out of the water. Like, that Turles team is very, very good on paper. Like, you have, what's his name, Jack Leamy, Dara Staicklam started, actually, even though he wasn't expected to start. Sean was very surprised to hear that he started. He didn't believe me there. I don't lie to you, Sean.
it sounded like the biggest spoof ever when you said it as well earlier.
No, he's starting all right. But Joe Caesar was very good as well. And Jimmy Lahart there from Holy Cross, he's a right good little player. And just they've quality all over there. And sure, they're bringing on Tommy Maher there from Turles Og there for 2 or 3 minutes. Like, he's, I know he's young and he's a good few years left at Harty level, but he's a very good player. Like, and most schools would be having him as one of their key players. So yeah, Turles, they look like they could be big contenders for this year.
Yeah, and a huge win for Cashel, actually. They have 2 wins on the board now, and a win over Rain and Champions Flannan. So that'd be great for that school.
Great for them, yeah, it's great. And it's a good while since I think we've had 4 teams in the Harty Cup, and they're all, well, apart from Templemore, we've 3 schools in the quarterfinals now. Yeah. Sorry, no, yeah, 3 schools, Nina won as well. So Nina won by 4 points in their match. So it's great. It's good advertisement for the young players we have in the county. So
yeah, I think the quarterfinals of the Harty Cup, they're not on now till the 8th of January, which is a Saturday. So there'll be good games for people to go to there at the start of the year. Lads, I think that's, unless you have anything else, I think that's all we have time for this week.
All good, Mike.
So look, just thanks to Dave Morgan of My Stadium Seat for joining us on the Premier View, Anthony Shelley and Gerry O'Neill, who was making his debut. And Sean and Inda, should we talk to you next week when we'll see who has, whether Sean will be shouting number 37. And I don't know, has he any days left with the amount of time he's taken off? But no doubt he'll be screaming and shouting one way or the other come Sunday night, Monday morning. So until next week, lads, thanks very much. And to Bernard Naboo.
See you, Mike.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support or make someone's Christmas. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Semple Stadium, where every name matters.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.